Blog Talk.
I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. This is the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast with your host, Calvin Ward. On tonight, we have scheduled an exclusive interview with Apostle Edward Penn. I want you to stay tuned and tune in. If you have any questions, I want you to call the number, dial in number, 619-393-6483, and we will entertain questions. Try to take your chance left. Well, the first thing I want to say is good night to everybody. How are you doing out there? I want to thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening to the show on tonight. I just want to put out a couple of announcements here. Later in the show, we've been having some issues with some of the guests and the scheduling. And I just want to reassure you that tonight will be the last time that we have that issue and have that problem. There's been some slight issues with some scheduling and with contacting some of the guests, and I guess people are having a little bit of trouble dialing in or remembering or whatever the case is, but we're going to get that straight, and we're going to iron that out. So just want to let you know that. Also, we'll be taking the show in a different direction. We're going to be turning it in a different direction. It's still, of course, going to be gospel-centered, but what we do want to do is take this gospel and present it in a different light, and we want to stress empowerment. We want to stress motivation, transformational speaking. We want to stress motivational speaking. We want to just stress spiritual laws and principles that anyone who can pass into this radio show might be able to use. Some people are out there who feel that, you know, ministry is turning into this big motivational speaking circuit may not like that, but we were told to preach the gospel to all nations. We are also told to be wise in what we do. We need to be simple as a dove and wise as a serpent. So though there is an audience where in the church atmosphere we can go and we can present the gospel and we can preach it and we can teach it in that atmosphere, we need to also learn how to present the same gospel in different modes, in different atmospheres, and in different environments, and then we'll be able to pull people in. And in doing so, you are not negating the gospel and you're not turning your back on Jesus Christ. What you are doing, though, you are putting some seed out there. And I believe it was the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians mentioning how some sow the seed, some water, but it is God. Some plant, some sow, but it is God who gives the increase. You know, some sow and plant, some come back and water it, but God gives the increase. And so when we do things such as the motivational speaking and transformational speaking, it still taps and speaks to a person's spirit, a person's soul, their higher self, and it still speaks to that part of them. And when we open up an individual to that part of themselves, it now opens the door for spirituality to come in. And at that point, we are told to just preach the gospel, and we give them the message. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that do believe. How can you believe on something you have not heard? It has to be preached. It is a sent preached word that will do the drawing. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I should draw all men unto me. But we know the gospel must be preached. And when the gospel is preached, it is Christ that is preached. And so when he is preached, he draws all men unto him. And so having said that, we're going to move on as well. And just let you know, there have been some different changes going on with the ministry. I want to tell everyone out there there is another organization that has recently been established. It's called MII Inc. That's an organization that I will be running called MII Inc. It's just been recently registered called Mentoring Institute International. And so I want you to look out for that. That's an organization that will be geared at raising up mentors and leaders and training them and executive coaching, training them, discipling them, using ministerial credentials, using spiritual laws and principles, as well as success precepts, so we can combine all of that so as to make an individual well-rounded. The gospel today, we need to understand and learn how to preach this gospel to a bigger audience. And I think people are getting tired of hearing the same old gospel, the same old format. And so I want you to look out the MII. I want you to look out for that. And when you do look out for it now, I want you to I want you to think about it because I want some feedback from you. We're trying to get women and men who have a call on their life, or whether it's life coaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's just coaching. You know, there are those that do executive coaching, whether it's Christian counseling, or whether it's just helping and assisting people in life. Those are the type of people that we want to train. Those are the type of people we want to bring in. Also, what will be coming out within the next year is Ward University. Ward University will be a spiritual institution that will be accredited, and we'll be linking. We will be linking that up in the future, in the distant future, to the Department of Education. But it will be a spiritual university. There will be a metaphysical university and a Bible institute there, as well as a world ministerial alliance. So we have some special things in store for you. What we are attempting to do is to take ministry into the 21st century. And in order to do that, we must learn how to adapt technology. We must learn how to use that technology. We must learn how to proliferate that technology and use it as best as we know how. So I want you to stay tuned. And what we're about to do, we're going to take a quick break here. And when I come back, we're going to continue on. I want to thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Podcast. You're a host, Calvin Wood. I want to thank Promoting Purpose Magazine for being the actual sponsor for the program. Again, Promoting Purpose Magazine. To check out their new website, check out their advertising. Hello, this is your host, Calvin Ward, and we're coming back once again. This is another session. It looks like our guest will not be in, and so the show is going to go in a different angle on tonight. And again, this is going to be the last time this will happen with our guests. I want to thank you for tuning in. You're not disappointed, but I want to thank you for tuning in. What we're going to talk about tonight, though, I want to talk about, and it's going to be very quick, but I want to talk about a couple of things in the body of Christ in general. I know as a prophet, we are supposed to have the heartbeat of God. We're supposed to be in tune with God. We're supposed to get the revelation. We're supposed to get pulled down the mysteries of God, the revelation of God, and commit that to people who are faithful, accountable, and teachable. We are never to, as apostles and prophets, we are not told to commit certain things to everybody. There are certain truths that are only to be committed according to the pastoral books that are only supposed to be committed to those who are faithful, accountable, and teachable. I know in ministry we used to preach that, you know, God needs some fat people. That's an acronym, F-A-T. He needs some people that are faithful, accountable, and teachable. And one of the things in the body of Christ that I see, and it frustrates me a little bit, and it causes concern, is that we see a lot of people who have what I call the look of ministry. You have the title, wherever you got it from, whether you bought that title or whether you found it in Walmart. I'm convinced that some people have found their titles in Walmart on an aisle on the floor, and they just decided to pick it up and put it on their collar or wear it. I'm also convinced that there are those who wear the title minister, or who wear the title elder, or who wear the title of pastor or prophet, and have just found it in the street somewhere. Because when you look at people or these individuals and you observe their life, you do not see the signs of the ministry. Yet we see the signs that are used to spell the name that you wear. So we see apostle, we see the different signs or characters in the English language that are used to spell out your title apostle, that are used to spell out your title as prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist. But we don't see the prophetic or the spiritual signs of that office in your life. When we look and observe your life, their character is lacking in ministry. Integrity is lacking in ministry, and as well as accountability. Accountability is lacking in ministry today. And these are just some things that I have seen. I've noticed also that, you know, some of the people that I've seen as anointed figures, and this is not going to be a bashing session, but for those of you who understand the prophetic, you understand the prophetic comes to correct. For the word of God, it's for what? It is for correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. It is for those things. And so we come to put out a revelatory word that comes from the heavens, that you may eat it and digest it and use it in your spiritual diet to apply it to what God has called you to do. It is the office of the apostle and the prophet that is called to bring down the mysteries of God. The apostle is not called to plant churches. We got people calling themselves apostles because you have 20 churches that you have founded, or you believe because you planted 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 churches that God has called you to be an apostle. Well, the devil is a liar. That is not the sign of the apostleship on someone's life. When we look at the scriptures, and even in the prophetic, though there are those who think they're a prophet because they can delve into the psychic realm. They can tell you your phone number. We can tell you everything but righteousness. We can tell you everything about you, heal you, give you a phone number, do this, that, and the other. But the purpose of a prophet is to turn the heart of men, or to turn the heart of women or mankind, and to turn their heart to get it inclined towards God. So everything that we say and that we do is purposed to have an individual will within themselves to follow God in righteousness, to follow God in truth, to get them to realign their spirit in a spirit of truth so that they can serve God. They that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. In the Jewish culture, the highest form of worship of God is study of the Torah. Study of the Torah, study of the Torah. Why is studying of the word of God, study of the Torah, the teachings? Why is studying of the law, the word of God, the teachings of God, the highest form of worship in the Jewish culture, from the Jewish religion? Why? Because how can you love that which you do not know? How can you love that which you do not know? I'll say that again. How can you love that which you do not know? It is following the precepts of God as the proof. Those that love me obey my commandments. We are supposed to obey the commandments of God. And in obeying the commandments of God, the presence of God is automatically seen in our life. By obeying the commandments of God, when we obey the commandments of God, we create a vehicle for the Spirit of God to come in and use. And so that is something that needs to go on. And furthermore, when people teach and when people study, I believe there were 613 commandments. When people study those commandments, and they implement those commandments, and they follow those commandments, again, I'll say it again, they create a pathway and an opening for the Spirit of God to come down into their life. And when the Spirit of God comes down into their life through that conduit or that pathway that they have created by obeying the commandments of God, they allow the Spirit of God to bring their flesh under subjection. So living for God is not hard when we understand that we need to obey his commandments. And so what we have today, and I'm bringing this back, I'm going to reconnect it with the abundance of ministers or the abundance of individuals who wear titles and credentials, and they want to usurp respect, and they want to usurp the privileges that come with that title, but they do not want to fully walk out that title. Walking in a title or walking in a position means that you are the number one servant. You are the biggest servant of all. It brings to mind when Jesus was washing the apostles' feet, and one of them didn't want him to wash his feet. He said, you don't belong to me if you don't allow me to do this, if I don't do this. As leaders, we must make it a point for people to see us serving all the time. We never stop serving. And the leaders that you really have to watch out for are the leaders that feel that people should serve them, and that feel that people need to serve them because they feel that they have arrived, or they feel that they are in a position where now people need to give to them, people need to serve them. That's false leadership. And it's borderline witchcraft, but that's a whole nother message. So getting on back onto the subject of leaders and giftings and ministers, how are people to know if these individuals are really called to what they're called for? The Bible lets us know in the last days that men will take heed. They will give heed to seducing doctrines and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils, seducing doctrines, doctrines of devils. Seducing doctrines, in order for something to seduce you, and let's take the word doctrine, you can replace that with teaching. In order for something to seduce you, it must first appeal to you in some way. It must first have a part of your mind. It must first have a part of you. So there is something in you that's connected with it. So in order for it to seduce you, it already has access to you. And so the seduction comes when the normal method, the relationship that you have with it, is so slightly perverted that it goes unnoticed and you don't know it. So now you've become seduced by this false doctrine through this false vehicle that has been tainted. It's something you've had a relationship with before, but because, let's say, for instance, it could be a leader that you have a relationship with, but because you haven't been in your word, your spirit of discernment has not been exercised to discern both good and evil, so your discernment in the spirit is low, and you can succumb to false doctrine, you can succumb to false actions, false wills, you can succumb to sin and to doing things that are out of the will of God by listening and obeying false leadership, all because your discernment has not been exercised. How do you exercise your discernment? It's just like using a knife sharpener and sharpening a knife. The word is very abrasive. When you get into the word of God, because he speaks to us in these last days through his son. His son was his son. His son is Jesus the Christ, the Logos. Christ is the Logos, and Christ is still speaking today through the Rhema. So he's speaking to us in these last days through his word. Through his word. That is the primary method by which we get prophecy in these last days. This is why prophets that are always, prophets prophesying, 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 prophesying. The thing about prophecy and prophets is God releases a prophecy through the prophets. But because there is such an abundance of people calling themselves prophets and releasing all of this word into the atmosphere, it releases behind it a spirit of confusion, which allows the enemy to send spirits of deception to go in and between and to begin to seduce the people and confuse them. And where there is confusion, there is pride. Where there is pride, there's every evil work. And so the people are scattered. Why? Because prophets are so quick to speak instead of being slow to speak and quick to hear. And what happens is when we have people who are prophets, you're supposed to live a life that when you do speak, it commands people to listen. You live a life that people can observe and know that you have a relationship with God, so that when you do speak, people listen. Not only that, prophets and apostles, you need to be educated. Drop all these honorary doctrines. An honorary doctorate is just what it is. It's an honorary doctorate. It's something that an institution gives to you because normally that institution either wants you to be associated with it or that institution just wants the money. And in Christendom, let's face it, honorary doctorates are what they are. I have an honorary doctorate, but do I use that title in front of my name? No, I do not. Honorary doctorates are supposed to be placed after the name. There are more awards. There's something that you mention in a biography. They are not something that you use as an earned degree or an earned title. And what we have to restore back to the body of Christ is the integrity of being studious. It's the integrity of actually learning your craft. We have so many pastors. I went the other day, and I'll say this. I went to the website of an individual, and I went there, and it was an apostle. And I went to the apostle's website. And I went to this gentleman's, it's not the gentleman that was supposed to be scheduled tonight, but I went to this gentleman's website. He was an apostle, and today we know how to do it. You got the website going, you got the flash going, you make yourself look like you are just the best thing since potato chips, sliced bread, and bottled water. You are just it. It looks like you are just good. But when you have an eagle eye anointing in the spirit realm, it pierces. You can look someone at their eye. I can see a picture of you and pick up your spirit. Because there is no distance in the spirit. There is no distance in the spirit. That gift works because it closes that quantum gap. So you can look at a picture of someone and pick up their spirit. You can hear someone's voice. You can talk to people. You can connect with them instantaneously. So when I saw his photo, I instantaneously knew. I was like, this gentleman calling himself a doctor, but he's not a doctor. So I go to the website. I go to look up. And so, yes, it says that he is a doctor. It does not mention the institutions that he has attended. But yet it says that he is a doctor, and then at the bottom of the bio it says, but he's getting his bachelor's. He's presently going to school for his bachelor's in theology from such and such seminary. So how is it that you have a doctorate, but you don't even have a bachelor's yet? Emphasizing, going back to the emphasis on that doctorate. Doctorates are for individuals who've been doing, mostly in some institutions, you've been doing stuff for over 15 years. You're talking about at least 20. 10 to 20 years you've been doing something, or you've done something that was so magnanimous that you have contributed to the field of study that you are in that academic domain, and you have been honored because of that with an honorary doctorate, such as an honorary doctorate of, let's say, literature or humanities. Let's use someone like Maya Angelou, who has written many books, and, she has gotten poet laureate. She's gotten awards, and she's written many books and done many things. So they wanted to honor her for your lifetime achievements. That's what it's for. In the body of Christ today, we got an abundance of people who are calling themselves doctors and they can barely speak English. I have a problem with that because that lets me know that your integrity is low. Because if you will use a title, if you will use a title without even trying to, understand this, if you will use a title without even trying to measure up to the qualities or the requirements that the title brings with it, and you're so easy to use it, that lets me know that your integrity is low because you're trying to be somebody instead of trying to let the Lord mold you and make you into somebody. And so what that is spewing in the body of Christ is this microwave spirit, this microwave generation spirit, where everyone and their mother thinks that because they have a little word or can teach a little Sunday school, God has called you to ministry to go internationally. You're 22 years old. You can barely get your own life together, but you want to go out here and preach to the world and get you a website and call yourself this, that, and the other. You got people 25, 26, whatever the age is. God can use you despite your age. But the abundance of people who are operating in these gifts have not sat under and been mentored and been dug into and plowed out to the degree that they are fit to be sent out in ministry, to have a full understanding of what it is to be in ministry. And so this is what we're dealing with today. So how do we refute? How do we come against that? You know, there's such an abundance of leaders and they look legit. They have titles. What I tell people and what I'm going to tell you is, look, research your leaders. You know, there are legitimate leaders and people who have been in ministry, you know, 20 years and they've been doing their thing. Look, we understand that. You've been in ministry 20 years, you know, and you've been doing your thing and no one told you about this, that, and the other, you know. There are some people, they say, you know what, well, I need a doctorate to go, you know, to do certain things in ministry and go here or there. But you've been preaching for 20 years and you've done this and you've done that. You know what? Research people. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But then we have people who want to look like they're just so educated and so studied up and they want to pull that crowd to them. But the problem is when you have a doctorate degree and you pull people who are educated to you, they will be able to know whether you are at that level or not. So now you as a leader, you have to consistently try to present this image that you really are not, because you are wearing a cosmetic. You're wearing a cosmetic face of education. You have to continually pump and prime yourself or try to look like something that you really are not, so that you won't get people to leave your church. Because you got people with bachelor's and master's, people that are educated, they can see right through that. And then you have people who, you know, have written papers, they've written their thesis, they have done work, and to get to where they are, and it's almost a slap in their face when you use titles and you haven't done the work to get there. So it's almost a slap in the face. So that is something that is connected to integrity and character and the anointing. If you are in God and you want God to take you and do what he wants to do in your life, take the time to study. Take the time. There are Bible colleges across the internet. You need to learn how to maximize the internet. Take the time. If God is raising up as a true leader, true leaders will take the time to be shaped and formed and to be trained. And it is forged. A diamond takes years to be forged. And if you want to have the effect that you claim that you already have, if you really want to have that effect, then you will let God form you and you will let God mold you and you will let the pressures of life and the different environments that God places you in, and you will let the study time that you have with God, you will let all of those things add to you and help to make you what God wants you to be. And if you are, if you have a leader, look, research your leaders. You know, if you have someone and someone calls you to want to preach at your church or to want to do this, and you say, you know what, okay, who are you? I want to go find some information on you. You can't find their bio on the internet. They don't even have a website on the internet. They say they're connected to this. I can't even find who your parents in the gospel are. I don't know who your pastors are. You're a pastor. Who is your pastor? Can I contact your pastor? Can I email them? Who can I call to vouch for you that's another minister that is not under you or that is not connected with you in any biased relationship that will be able to give me a detailed representation of what you are really like as an individual? Who can I call to vouch for you? Can I even find your bio? Can I find out where you went to school? If we emailed you, would you be able to send us these things? Be wary of people who close up the amount of information about themselves in this day of information. Why don't you have a website? Why can't I find your bio? Why is it hard to find any information about you? Because if people had half of the educational astuteness that they claim that they have, they would understand, look, in the day of internet, look, you need to have a webpage. You need to have something up that says, this is who I am, this is what I offer, this is what I can do. You need to have something there so people can research you. Look, if you have someone, you're inviting them, you can't find any information about them, look, cancel it. Cancel it. What are people hiding where they can't be revelatory about what they say that God has called them to. There's something up with that. There's a problem with that. Check into that. And for leaders, if you're a leader right now or you're submitting, you have to be submitted to a leader. If you're a church member or you're a leader and you have somebody covering you, look, the telltale sign of a real father or mother in the gospel is not the fact that they have some superior title. Matter of fact, people that call themselves master prophet, chief apostle, most high reverend, most reverend this, all these super titles, you know what, most of the time drop them like a bad habit because they don't have a clue about what it is to be in leadership. They have a clue of titles, but they don't have a clue about what it is to be in leadership. That's why a lot of the times I found, you know, when you introduce yourself, I call people, they say, God bless you. I say, my name is, what's your name? They ask me what my name is. I say, my name is Calvin, because prophet is not who I am. My degrees are not who I am. I am who I am. Calvin is who I am. And when you get to know Calvin, you get to find out that Calvin has all this other stuff that is behind him that helps to make him who he is. I don't push my title and I don't push my education so as to use it to get what my character can't get genuinely because I lack it. So that's what people do. They use their titles and they use this cosmetic image of ministry to try to get and to try to pull to them what they know their character and their integrity can't get because they have not been birthed out in ministry. They have not been cut. They have not been rebuked. They have not been sat down. They have not been trained. They just, you know, got up, got a Bible. I was at somebody's church for so many years, and now you're out there. And, you know, you get pastors who say they're a pastor and ask them, okay, you're pastoring. Who is your pastor? Did your pastor send you out, or did you send yourself out? See, people who are pastoring, you need to find out. See, this is why there are a lot of people in church who are having frustrations in ministry and stagnations in the spirit, because you didn't find out. Look, you're sitting under a pastor because he had the image, she had the image. But did you come to find out and ask them, okay, who's your pastor? Did your pastor send you out? And if their pastor didn't send them out, that means they are operating in a spirit of rebellion because they went out on their own. Because the purpose of a pastor is to cover you in the spirit until you come into the fullness and the maturation stage of who you are in God. And that's what they are there for, to cover you. God sends you the pastors for a season. And those who do not want to fulfill that process, who do not want to get cut, who do not want to get pressed, who do not want to get burned, who do not want to get refined, who do not want to be placed into the refiner's fire, who do not want to get stepped on. See, they don't want to go through all of that. Their flesh has not been through the process to be purified or to know what it is to be in a consistent purification process. There's not just one purification process. You go through that process initially so that your flesh can get used to what this process feels like. So then you can discipline your flesh for the future, because the scripture says we do mortify the deeds of the flesh. God is not going to deal with everything. You can pray to him all day long. He's not going to deal with all that. He's giving you the power, the power of the Holy Ghost, to be able to pick up the tools in the spirit. Hello, Ephesians chapter 6, to pick up those tools and help yourself. He's given you the ability to do that. He's not going to do everything for you. So you have these people, these church members, lay members, ministers, deacons, whoever they may be in churches, all this frustration is going on. God, why is this going on? God, why am I feeling stagnated? Why am I in the same place? Why don't I see things going forward? You know why that is? Because maybe your covering is illegitimate. So the first thing, let me give you some spiritual understanding, and I guarantee you, it will give you a breakthrough. If you follow what I'm about to tell you, you're in a place of stagnation. The first thing you need to check is your own spirit. Have you been in the Word? Have you been consistent in your obedience to your church? Because the thing is, whatever God has for you, God operates by his spiritual laws. You have the law of reciprocity. You have the law of rhythm, the law of correspondence. What you put out is what you're going to get back. So if you're not faithful and accountable to the one you're serving under right now, whether they are wrong or right, then how can you ever expect with integrity to receive that back in ministry when God, or in business, when God calls you and sends you out to do what it is that he has called you to do? So first thing, check yourself. If you have found yourself, if you're found not wanting, and if you check your own life and say, you know what, I've been faithful, I've been doing what I've been doing, I've been giving, serving in my church. I've been there. I've been in the Word. My life is lined up. I'm not in perpetual sin. Then the next thing you need to do is check your leadership. Because check your leadership. Is your leadership legitimate or are they illegitimate? If they are illegitimate, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is the manipulation of human spirits for an individual's own purposes. So you need to check your leadership. Did this person start a church because they felt they wanted to start a church and they felt that God called them to start a church? What are the purposes of doing that? and we're going to take a quick break. I want you to think about that for a moment. We're going to take a quick break, but first we're going to take our caller. You are on air. This is Calvin Ward. How can we help you? Hello, you're on air. Okay, no longer on air. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get more in depth about leadership. You know, we're going to get more in depth because I want you to get a breakthrough. You may be a leader, or you may be someone that's frustrated. Look, check your walk. Once you check your walk, you need to check your leadership. You know, what is your back? Listen to this track by gospel artist Tammy Smith called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And we'll be right back to get more in-depth talking about leadership, this false spirit that is flowing in the church today, and how you can really protect yourself and just some things that you can watch for.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning. Good.
is Calvin Ward, and we are back on the air. I want to thank you for tuning in. That was, again, Tammy Smith. She's one of my good friends. She used to sing with the Chicago Mass Choir, has an awesome voice, and God is going to do some great things with her. God has already done some great things with her. She has survived cancer 3 times, and she has just done some things in her life. So I thank God for her. When we go into this next segment, and this is the concluding segment, I want to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Version. And I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. It says it right there, that these are people who want titles and position because they look at godliness as a means of gain. I'm going to interject right there and say, you know, that even in doing, you know, what I do, you have to check yourself. You know, you don't get one person to listen to, if I don't get one person to listen to this show, does that negate that God told me to do it? If I don't get one person to call in, does it negate that God told me to do this? Does it negate that this is spewing forth and going forth in the atmosphere, in the spirit realm, and that it is still doing a work because God said do it, not because people are listening or people are tuning in? Numbers do not ratify what God told you to do. Do what God told you to do, and you continue to do it. It's like the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, around verse 11. So there shall this word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall go forth. It shall not return void, but it shall what? Accomplish the work whereto it was sent to do. And people need to understand that when you do what God told you to do, you are sending a frequency, a vibration. You are sending out the mind of God into the earth realm, and the mind of God is creative by nature. So whether no one supports what you're doing, all you really need to know is, did God say it? And now let's continue on in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to verse 6. Now, he describes this godliness. He said, look, these are men who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. He says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing. We cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering and these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is what has happened to those who have been married. We've seen in the past year or two about 4 or 5 marriages that have been in the news that have been trampled upon. Why? Because people want gain, people want title, people want position, and they've lost their marriage. I believe Paula White had a divorce recently. Juanita Bynum had a divorce recently. Benny Hinn had a divorce recently. Zachary Timms had a divorce recently. And I believe Dr. Jamal Bryant also had a situation there. Whatever the case, God bless you. Do what you do. Pray, get delivered, go forth. But the question still remains, would they have had these issues if it had not been for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? If it had not been for certain things that this scripture itemizes, that look, we don't need to keep our focus on these things here. But because people want to get rich and because they want the pride of life, they ran into a lot of things along the way that have caused them to make faulty decisions, and now they find themselves in a place that they probably would not have been in if they had not been so focused on trying to be successful, trying to be this, that, or the other, or what the world has called them to be. In the body of Christ as leaders, you are not to pick up false titles. You are not to pick up false positions. You are to remain humble, but do what God has told you to do. If God has really told you to do it, then doing what God has told you to do is going to draw men or draw the women or draw the resources necessary to complete that mission. So it all goes back to whether God really told you to do what you're doing in the first place. And so when you look at people who say they're leaders, God called me to be an apostle, really, do you have miracle signs and wonders that follow you when you go places? Apostles are not people that just plant churches. I could take a millionaire who is a businessman who has business know-how and business principles and know how to obey laws different, not spiritual laws, but different business laws, and they can start 10 or 20 churches because they have the finance and the organization to do so, and they can put someone else there to lead the church. What? We haven't said anything. That's not the mark. Paul itemizes, and he puts line upon line the dictates that fall upon an apostle. Apostles are trailblazers. They get persecuted. They get beat. Not all this talking about me in the ministry and because you sinned and now people are talking about you. No. These are people who do what God said to do in all purity and power and righteousness. And for no reason at all, the enemy lashes against them. They trailblaze. They open up doors so people can follow behind them and won't have to go through what they had to go through to get there. Prophets do the same thing. And what are the differences? They both work together. They take the brunt. They are the infantry of the body of Christ. They take the brunt of ministry. And they go forth and they go in ministry and they trailblaze and they lay down a foundation so people can follow behind them and do what and make it easier for them to do what it is God called them to do. And now because they've trailblazed, they now have an authority in the spirit realm to cast down, to refute, to recant, to reject, and to renounce and to bind and loose some things in the spirit realm because they've conquered that spirit. They have conquered that paradigm, that mindset, that stronghold, that demonic power and principality in the atmospheric regions. Therefore, it is now subject to them. That's called spiritual authority. And the chief purpose of those apostles and prophets are to get the revelations and the mysteries of God and communicate them. Prophets and apostles reveal spiritual truths and mysteries concerning the body of Christ that have not been revealed until that present epoch or eon in time. And there are those who don't believe it, but that is. So look, you have to check yourself sometimes. All these people, you know, apostle. Why? It's the same thing with bishop. Why are you a bishop? Bishops are teachers. Bishops cover. You know, and a lot of people that God calls to be bishops, they have man. If they would just be bishops, and because that anointing of a bishop is just as strong sometimes as an apostle, but it's for local areas. It's for doing the work of the body of Christ and administrating. It's a strong anointing. People confuse that with the anointing of an apostle. And so now we have a bunch of bishops calling themselves apostles, but we have a bunch of fake people calling themselves bishops, and they have not been mentored, and we need people who have been mentored who know how to train leaders and raise leaders up and send leaders out to be bishops so that we can actually get some leaders cultivated in the body of Christ. This is why the true bishops and the true apostles, well, you know, whether if they're known or if they're never known, they are doing a work that allows for these, like Paul said, you know, the work that Paul did allowed for these fake people to get up and make and get a name for themselves and to say this and say that because of the work that Paul did. They did the work. They did the foundational work. Now these people, these Pied Pipers can come back in the similitude or likeness of what they did and be received and be received and be listened to, though they're preaching false doctrine, though they don't have integrity in the anointing, though they don't have character in their spirit. This is why there are stages that God will lead us in. This is why in the Old Testament, we see that a prophet called another prophet. A prophet called another prophet. It was a prophet who recognized that anointing on someone else because usually the person they recognized it on was the one that had to get their mantle. They knew that I have to give you a double portion. You're going to be greater than I am. And that right there is another problem with leadership. So many people get in leadership, and because you have not been burnt out yourself, you get in the spirit of jealousy where you're trying to control everybody in your congregation and can't nobody be greater than you because you are just it. And a real leader knows how to impart into people and help them become what God has called them to become. But also, leaders add to people. Leaders make people great. Leaders add to people. They don't take away from people. Leaders don't try to control people. Leaders send people out. And that's what the apostolic veil and anointing on the church is really for. So if you are in a place and you're in a place of stagnation and there's some things that God needs to do for you and you are like, God, why are these things happening? Check yourself. And if your walk is good, check your leadership. And even if your walk is not good, you can always check your leadership. And if they're not legit, you need to move like lightning and find you somewhere where you can stay and be submitted. You first need to also check the position of your spirit. Do you will to sit under someone and want to learn and have a spirit to learn the word and to study the word? Will you sit under systematic theologic teaching? Will you sit somewhere and be poured into? Will you wait for the impartation of that prophetic anointing to come to you? Will you wait for another apostle to ordain you or a collection of apostles to ordain you as an apostle? Bishops don't ordain apostles. Prophets do not ordain apostles. That's not the way that goes. Contrary to popular belief, bishops, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers don't consecrate apostles. An apostle is either called an apostle. Most of the time, true apostles are called apostles either by God himself through visions and revelations. And then once they're called, they go to other apostles who have proven themselves in the ministry by the working of the ministry, whether it's in gifts, by the exemplary working of the ministry of the apostle in their life to confirm that anointing on their life. And it's more than one, and it's not your pastor. God called me to be apostle, so I'm going to go to my pastor. I'm going to go to my bishop. No. You need to get people to confirm that that's who you are. God will use a prophet who don't know you. He'll use someone out of your circle or your sphere of influence to confirm that. So this is how the giftings work, to confirm and to work with one another, to corroborate the anointings, to help solidify the callings and purposes of God in the minds of the people that God calls to the ministry. And in this passage of scripture, he talks about this in this first book of Timothy, these people who just want to do these things for gain. They just want to get the website, and they just want to get they want to act like they got an anointing. They want to look like they got it all. You know, we have Blog Talk. It's easy for somebody to get on Blog Talk and get a radio show and say, I'm this, or get on Talk Show, say, I'm this. Go get a website and got this big look, but you're nothing. You know, it reminds me of a gentleman who asked me to come to Nashville to minister. We took a ministerial team down there at the time, my apostle, and I was a prophet, and another couple of the prophets. And, you know, you travel with the company of prophets, and we went down there, and the gentleman played. He said he was a bishop over all these ministries that he had under him, by about 169, he claimed, and they were in Africa. So the first thing you also need to be wary of is people that call themselves apostles or pastors, and they're apostles or bishops, and all their ministries are overseas. Because what that tells me is there are none of your own colleagues who solidify or who even submit to the anointing that's on your life. That means if you can't do it here, God's not going to call you over there if you can't do it right here. The evidence of your anointing will be evident in the right now and where you are. Where you are planted is where you will spring up and be abundant. And if you can't do it here, it does not legitimize you because you got 2,000 people overseas that are under you. You need to do it right here. And if you can't do it here, it tells us that there's something wrong with your character and your integrity in ministry, why God is stopping that from growing here. And so you're reaching out trying to get it in other places when you can't legitimately get it here. Because you have not sat under, and no one has watched your life, observed you, cut you, trained you up. Verse 11 in Timothy chapter 6 says, but flee from these things, man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So fighting the good faith is not you when you are a pastor and you getting up every morning preaching and giving your all, and people ain't listening and church ain't growing, all that. That's not fighting the good faith. Who cares? If you're really called to do what you do, you don't care about that. Look, fighting the good faith is when you posit in your mind and in your spirit that I'm going to do everything in my power to elevate the consciousness of humankind through this gospel to save souls. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. If it's the last thing that I do, and do it with all integrity, do it with a clear conscience, do it in purification and righteousness, and make sure I'm treating people right in everything I do, and I'm putting out the positivity. I'm doing everything in the right spirit with the mind of God. Well, I need to let this what mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. You need to do everything with the mind of Christ. And when you can wake up every morning, when you can do every act and do the things that God has told you to do, and you know you've treated people good, you've apologized if you are wrong, you've done the best thing when people have done you wrong, you've still done them good. When you can do business, when you can do what you can do and know you've done everything right, that is fighting the good fight of faith. Because then you can stand, having done everything, therefore you can stand. And now wait and see and command the salvation of the Lord to come, because you have been obedient to his word and to his law. And you can now decree and declare that which you are waiting for, because after you've done everything, you can now stand. That also includes business work. There are those who have ministries. You're not even incorporated. Go get incorporated. Why? That's another integrity issue. You want to be in ministry and you ain't even incorporated. We understand if you start and go in ministry. But guess what? God. Do this. You want God to bless this thing? Well, then set it up right so God can come down in righteousness and bless it. Get a 501c3. Get an LLC. You know, divide the ministry and the business. So these are just some things that we really need to look for in leaders. You know, who is their pastor? Who is their covering? You know, where did they get their education? Did they start a university themselves and then their own university that they started, their own university credentialed them? That's bogus. You know, you start a university and then you call yourself doctor, and then we ask you, where did you get your doctorate from? And your doctorate came from the same university that you started. Bogus. Run from them. Flee from them. Bogus. Who's their pastor? Can't find your pastor, can't find your covering, can't email them, can't contact them, can't connect with them. Why do you not want us to contact them? What would they say about you? What is your track record in the anointing? What is your track record in business? People, you know, you got people who are just jobless now, preaching all the time. What is wrong with having a job and working the ministry? You are not too cute or too good to have a job and work the ministry. And those usually that work a full-time job and ministry for a season, God usually blesses them at a certain period of time because he tells them, look, I want you to go forth in ministry full-time. Why? Because they work full-time ministry while they yet had a job. That's not for you who are lazy and you just want to gig and go around, preach church to church and jump over chairs, hoop, holler, and scream and get offerings before you go. Watch out for people who want to know how much offering they're going to get before they come to speak. I want 40% of the offering. I want 30%. Can I raise my own offering? Look, God called. If you come in there to preach, you need to be on mission, not gigging like these musicians do. You need to be on a mission. I'm not coming unless you ask me to come. Good. Let's pray. When the Lord says I can come, then I'm going to come to you because there's a specificity that's going to be on my anointing for that area. There is a work and a mission for me to do there. There should be a work for you to do there, not just to go there to preach so you can get some money and pay a bill. Watch out for people who always want to command an offering. They should be at a place where they can get themselves there and get themselves back. If you're in ministry, make sure you can get yourself there and get yourself back, especially if you're an apostle or prophet. Because you put a disclaimer out there. You might not like what I'm about to say. So I'm going to make sure I can get myself here and get myself back before I even go there, because I'm not going to be worried about you, your attitude, or how you might conduct business, because people do that. And I'm going to regress back to the minister we went to in Nashville. This bishop, he had 169 churches in Africa, and we went down to Nashville. He said he had this big church, big revival, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't go for numbers, but we said we're going to go for ministry's sake. We got our own self down there, and we're going to get our own self back. We didn't ask him for an honorarium. He said, look, I'm going to help you take care of resources. And, you know, that's all good. Look, you know, we're not asking for honorarium. We're going to get in there and get back, but give us something to help take care of the resource, contribute something. So we get down there. He got about five people there. He himself is all jacked up. We know his character is jacked up. We know his life is out of order and disarray, and we know he is in rebellion. So we still ministered, and we did what we did, and we left. At the end, he had no money at all. He lied. So we had to minister and look. You got to let people know. Everybody's not saved in ministry. You know, we were trying to let them know. You got these preachers you're going to invite out. Some of these preachers will have their armor bearers do this, that, and the other. It's not right, but it happens. So you have to give people good counsel before they send them out there. Christ said, he told us, he said, I'm sending you out as lambs before wolves. So we need to understand and know what we're doing before we go out to do it. And so as I'm closing this, if you've been listening to this, I apologize for our guests not being here, but we're in another method. Again, that will be the last time, and we're going to move forward. But we've been talking about leadership, and I hope you can listen to this and play it back, get some nuggets out of this. Watch your leadership. Does your leadership have a covering? Not a long distance covering. I mean a covering that they can test that they're submitted to. Not somebody they just send some money to just so they can be listed on their website as having them as a covering. Covering is somebody you're subjected to. Somebody who can call them and tell them to do something, and they will try to do it with all that is possible within them if it's not in manipulation and witchcraft. What are their credentials? Check their credentials. Where did they get their credentials? Did they buy them online, or where did they get them at? Who ordained them? Are their credentials even legal? You got a lot of ministers who are bishops and ministers and PAW, Kojic, and all these other denominations. But if you're not paying dues to that organization, according to the law, you are not a legitimate minister. So if something ever goes down, you're going to be out of season. You're not going to be legitimate. There's a way to get around that, but check their legitimacy. Check their credentials. Check their covering. Okay? And are they in rebellion and witchcraft? Because if they are, then everything else that they do and say and touch is going to have the taint of rebellion and witchcraft on it. And it's going to be spewed out in everything that the ministry does and keep the ministry in a circle, in a cycle of the same state. Can't go forward, can't go backwards. Just staying in the same thing. When it looks like you're going forward, something happens and you regress and you're something sucking up resources, sucking up this, it's about moving forward, having that forward mobility in God and the anointing. When you let God deal with you, he'll deal with you, and then he'll give you forward mobility in him and in the earth realm. So checking them, checking yourself. Are you in the word level? You know, checking yourself and then reading the word to know what are the signs of the prophet and the apostle. We just receive these people, but we don't go to the word to confer on them. We don't go to the word to see if they really are fulfilling what they say that they have. Just because you call yourself this, that, or the other doesn't mean that's what you truly are. Seek the Holy Ghost. Also, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, latter part of chapter 5, early part of chapter 6. Read that. Look, exercise your discernment. Exercise your discernment. How do you exercise it? By sharpening your spirit with the word of God. Exercise your discernment so you can know what's going on in the spirit, so you can know when someone is false or fake is coming to you. And then don't be afraid to ask questions. Any leader that does not want to be transparent in anything that you ask him, watch out for a leader that's defensive. Watch out for a leader that doesn't allow you to ask questions because they don't know. Watch out for a leader. If they don't know an answer to a question, they should be able to send you in the right direction to get an answer and not just reject you and try to hurt your feelings, because that's a sign and an evidence that they really don't know themselves, and that's not a real leader. Watch out for the spirit of discipleship and mentorship. Christ called us to disciple, not mentor. Mentorship is something that's adopted from the world. It denotes duplication. Mentorship is done for a season until you find who God called you to be, and then mentorship should be converted over to discipleship. And that's how that works. So for leaders, look, I hope you got some nuggets out of this show on tonight. I hope you got something from the show. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you were blessed by this show. Play it back again, because God's going to bless you. You're going to get some nuggets out of here. And you're going to take this back again, and God's going to bless you. I want to thank Promoting Your Purpose Magazine, Promoting Purpose Magazine, being a perpetual sponsor for this show. I want to thank you guys. I want you to watch out for Mentor Institute International. Watch out for the University. I want you to check in so you can email me and find me on the radio and let me know what you think about the show. If you have any questions, have a comment. This has been Help, and you have been listening to the Radio Broadcast. Be blessed.